This is from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowds, they went up on the roof. And they lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them. He took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I'm just going to pray for David as he unwraps this word in the book of Luke for us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people who are here in the building. We thank you for all those at home who are here to listen to your word, Father. I pray that you will continue to anoint David as he brings those words alive to us now. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jerry Lee, and welcome everyone, and thank you to those connecting online as well. I know we had some technical difficulties for those watching online this morning, so thank you so much for persevering, and for our amazing tech team as well, who've kept persevering. On is actually the moment when Jesus says the most surprising thing. "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Now, I've heard this story many times. I think probably even when I was a child, I knew the kind of main parts of the story off by heart. But I've found as I've looked at this afresh this week, this story has surprised me, amazed me, inspired me, and yes, challenged me afresh. You see, this story challenges me right at this kind of pivotal moment, because when Jesus says, "Forgive this to this man, friend, your sins are forgiven," I find there's something in me, and I imagine there's something in you, which actually struggles when we hear that people who may be forgiven, when we kind of think, "I'm not so sure that they should be let off that way." Think for a moment, will you, with me, of someone who you kind of think deserves to get what was coming to them. Maybe someone in the news, or someone you don't like or judge, and then imagine they have this amazing word, forgiveness, speaking over. you're off. You don't need to pay for what you've done. Really? There's a bit of me which wants to see justice, which wants people to pay for. But you know, there's another bit of me. Maybe a bit that particularly from being around this kind of wonderful city of Brighton that actually kind of struggles with another bit of this story. This story where this man kind of comes to the doctor, and imagine now for a moment you take out sin. And yet Jesus, right here at this moment, this is what he does. He talks about forgive. That is more challenging to us than we realize. And he talks about sin, and that is more challenging to us. And yet this is just why we need to hear this message. This message that God is this God who does restore, but he loves to restore from the inside out. He loves to look at our lives and see what's inside, not just what's outside as we come today. And I've been deeply humbled by that afresh, but also massively encouraged. Encouraged because Jesus speaks into this situation. Are you online? Faith! Jesus, it says in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he's going to do something wonderful when he sees their faith. They had faith that Jesus could, they believed that Jesus was the one who could restore him. And so they had faith that expressed itself in love. You see, love is not just a feeling. Love is action. Love gets us involved in loving labor. It is willing to sweat. It's willing to take risks of even ridicule. I imagine they thought, what are people going to think of us? And they thought, well, don't, we're going to just do this anyway. And they even risked injury. And I think when we see this kind of loving compassion, we, in our culture, we think, this is great. But this compassion for friends who might be struggling, whether it's your neighbor or your friend, you know, we cheered people who were helping those in need over this pandemic. And as a society, we get that. What we don't often get is that the problem is bigger. The problem is bigger than is what is visible. The problem really does go deep, and we're going to see more about that as we go through this time. But these men, they're desperately aware that their friend needs help, and they're confident that Jesus can help him. And they're better than I had hoped. I don't know, can you relate to that? You know, there were kind of blockages. Sometimes even I found this building, like they faced the blockage of getting in the building, has been a building. I sometimes have found that, you know, trying to invite friends to come to a church building, it's like, that's not really my cup of tea. But, you know, amazingly, we've had some wonderful people who have a bit like these friends in this story. They've kind of removed bits of the kind of the building so that why? Well, because people matter more than things. And I want to ask you this morning, what matters to you and I? To this situation, he doesn't just see things in us, he speaks to us. What does Jesus want to speak to you and to me this morning? Well, look, he says to this man, friend. I mean, let's just pause there. Jesus calls this man who he sees the sin in, and he says, friend. In fact, time and again in the Bible, we see that Jesus, even though kind of people sometimes mockingly call him a friend of sinners, yet he takes it as a badge. And I've found this book also so helpful that Tim's already referred to a couple of times in this series. And it's a book called Gentle and Lowly, and it's got a subtitle under it, which just says, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. Are you aware of sometimes your sin and the sin of those around you? Or are you suffering and are those suffering around you? Please, we long that through this series you will see something of the heart of Christ. And this is the amazing heart of Christ that speaks, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, as I said at the start, that raises things in me when I hear it over other people. You know, if I don't like them, if I want them to face God's judgment, I don't feel comfortable with them getting forgiven. And if I feel like I kind of favor them, I like them, I don't like other people pointing out their sin or even mentioning it. But when it's me, and actually when I get talking honestly to people, I find in my life, I will quite happily tell you, it's not all it could be. I know there's sin in my life. And you know, when we have people who get baptized, as we're going to have next week, the first question we ask them is, are you aware you have sinned? And I find when I get real with anyone, they never struggle to answer that question, really. Because we all know, don't we? We all know that though we don't often like the diagnosis, that actually that is there in our lives. And so it is a wonderful thing when it is spoken over us. When Jesus speaks over you and me, friend, your sins are forgiven. I find this staggering. But yet, it's not just this kind of setting is shocking if I kind of hear it spoken over the paralyzed man. I find there's something about this which has really surprised and shocked me. And that is that I find that when I think of Jesus forgiving someone, I'm kind of looking, because I have my theological boxes, oh, have they kind of prayed and said sorry to God? Have they had faith? Have they repented? Have they believed? I'm looking for that in their life, because in my kind of framework, that kind of releases then the storehouses of God's grace and forgiveness. And so I'm looking at this passage and I'm thinking, so let me see where the evidence is that the man prayed. Let me see the evidence that he showed faith and repented, and I you might have done. I just don't know. What do I have to go on? Why did Jesus say your sins are forgiven to this man? Why did he do it? Let's look back at verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith? The friends carrying the man. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, he didn't comment about anything he saw in the man who was paralyzed except his sin, and yet Jesus saw their faith and he said, your sins are forgiven. And I'm thinking, wow. Could Jesus have the freedom and authority to forgive people their sins based on somebody else's faith? Doesn't sound right to me. And yet, he does. And I look back at verse 24 and look down after all this wonderful thing that's going to happen. And Jesus says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus has the authority. He can forgive whoever sins he likes because he's the one who paid. He's the one who paid on the cross for my sin and your sin. And so he is free and desiring and wants to bring his forgiveness to whoever he wants to forgive. Wow. Ah, this is exciting. To be walking and working with Jesus like this. And yet it's also kind of like, this Jesus is he's more compassionate, more forgiving than I'd realized. Could it be that you and I get praying for a friend of ours, and Jesus, on the basis of our faith, wow, let's pray. Could it be that you come here because you just know your need and you're aware of your need, even as you sit here, and we haven't yet got to the point where we're saying, how are you going to respond? And yet Jesus is already saying to you, friend, your sins are forgiven right now. Friend, your sins are forgiven you. We need to hear what Jesus is saying to us. Wonderful, wonderful words. But we also need to see that actually there's something so shocking. But as these guys see that, they kind of Pharisees go, who is this fellow? Who is he? Who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's what we're going to look at Alpha tomorrow. So I'm just going to kind of pass over this point. They basically say, who is this Jesus? And that is a great question. Tomorrow, that's the title. Monday night, who is Jesus? And what we find as we look at some of Jesus' amazing claims is what fits the facts best. As Jesus goes on and says, look, he says this, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He says, look, I am more powerful. I have more authority than you can possibly, you know, realize. And I want you to know who I am, says Jesus. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know that he's at the center of this story. Not the paralyzed man, not the religious people, not even the friends. It's about him. And so then he comes and he says, so look, so that you will know who I am. I'm going to speak to this paralyzed man. And what does he say? Get up. Get up, take your mat, and go home. Wow. This Jesus brings physical healing, physical restoration, but he's also brought spiritual healing and reconciliation and restoration with God. And one of the things I think we're going to see as we go through this series, and I kind of put it to you, is could there be something in how Jesus restores people that where he works from the inside out, that he prioritizes first the healing within. One of the reasons I love CAP, Christians Against Poverty, is it knows that there is both this spiritual and physical dimension, and it wants to bring the help and healing of Christ into both. You know, Jesus is this one who can speak to you if you're feeling in some way paralyzed today, maybe trapped by fear, maybe weighed down by guilt, maybe you feel identified by an illness. And as I said at the start, many of us feel like we can't describe our lives without reference to this pandemic that we've been facing and continue to face. Well, I want to say, if you're struggling to move, maybe stunned and in shock, maybe you need to hear Jesus say to you, to us, get up. Get up. Pick up your mat. You know, I think about the man and his mat. Did you notice the mat got mentioned at the beginning and the end? The man came in being carried on the mat by his friends. And I'd imagine now as he kind of picks up his mat and goes, I bet he's thinking, wow, who am I going to put on this mat and with some friends carry back to Jesus? Don't you think? Wouldn't you be doing that? It's like, wow, look what he did for me. He goes home praising God. But he's also now, he sees our hearts, thoughts, our actions. But maybe then, particularly this morning, what is Jesus saying to you? Do you need to hear his friend? Your sins are forgiven. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Receive his forgiveness this morning. Do you need to hear him say, look, I want you to know me. To know that I'm God. Jesus is God with all authority. Do you need to hear him say that to you this morning? Or maybe you need to hear him say, get up. I can help you. I can help you even help others around you. Maybe as the band just start to play, I just encourage you just to stand up, to get up, to rise up. Let's worship. That's what the people did. They started praising God. And in a moment, Dan's just going to get us thinking about how we can even be moving and thinking of others. But let's just, as we stand to worship, let's respond by praising this God who speaks such amazing words into our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.